These are significant. In fact, they are tremendous achievements. Most of them are actually the product of the last 8 years that were literally undergirded by the hard work for the 25 prior years that many of you individually in this organization collectively placed in this industry. They've been driven, in my view, by aggressive policy leadership by President Bush, as well as, and we have to acknowledge this, by increasing oil prices around the world. The growth since 2001 has, in fact, been very rapid, and it looks to me that in many respects, we are just getting started. Yes, we've got some growing pains. The bottom line is that adolescence, as we all know, can be very awkward. But for ethanol, the growing pains include logistical issues, getting Corn Belt ethanol to coastal markets. We clearly need to resolve the blend wall issue. I'm sure you've all talked about these things. We obviously need more blender and E85 pumps. We need more flex fuel vehicles on the road. We will undoubtedly face myriad other questions as our second generation biofuels come to market. But we're going to be able to work our way through these. I am convinced we will. We always have. And furthermore, I am a terrific believer. I'm a great believer in what the late Julian Simon called the ultimate resource. The ultimate resource. That ultimate resource is human ingenuity. You know, unleashed and empowered by a system that rewards innovation, respects property rights. Let me repeat that. Respects property rights and encourages entrepreneurs. We can confront and we can overcome the transitional challenges that we face today, just as we have done so many times in the past when new technologies and new industries arose. But it's in that vein that I would suggest to you that we also face some obstacles. They're different in nature. Different because they're actually rooted in what I would call entrenched resistance to innovation and sometimes a deep suspicion of entrepreneurship and economic growth itself. They are rooted in hostility to what Joseph Schumpeter called or celebrated as creative destructionism. It's so essential. Creative destructionism is so essential to the functioning of free markets, and yet they are ultimately rooted. This resistance is ultimately rooted in nothing other than the fear of change. There are precedents to this. You know, it's common observation that if penicillin were being discovered today, it could not survive the regulatory barriers that we would place in its way. Now, that's a hypothetical example. I realize that. But closer to home, consider greenhouse gas emissions, which we are now told is the great issue of the day. The one technology on the shelf right now that could massively reduce our carbon footprint is nothing other than nuclear power. And yet, the United States has not built a new nuclear power plant in more than a generation, for reasons that all of you in this room clearly understand. Those reasons, though, have not yet deterred France, which generates 78% of its electricity from nuclear. But we, here in the United States, have been stopped cold. This is a clear demonstration of the high price that we can pay for the fear of change. And renewable energy, including ethanol, is not immune. There have been many brush fires over the years. Net energy balance, food versus fuel, water consumption, and what have you done? You have collectively and methodically answered each and every one of them. And now there is a new attack centered on ostensible concerns about sustainability. Now, the European Union is actually discussing sustainability-based licensing, that's a mouthful, based licensing of biofuels that could essentially halt the conversion of acreage into feedstock production. And if you look at the pending energy bill in the House, some of the same regulatory ideas and approaches may actually be creeping into the debate there as well. This debate we must watch carefully, because we need to make sure that we do not allow life cycle analysis to become the stalking horse of paralysis by analysis, with the regulatory goalpost being shifted every time the industry attains a new milestone. Renewable Fuels Association, RFA, as most of you know, has already weighed in heavily on these questions, and I think very effectively. You've published a response, and your response is posted on your website, and I know that you've been active at all levels. I commend your vigilance, and I commend your significant leadership in all of this. It really is very helpful. But as a lifelong farmer, I would also like to add that sustainability is already a watchword in American agriculture. It's the way we operate. It has been for decades. You know, since the 1940s, we have steadily increased yield. And at the same time, as you all know, we have reduced erosion substantially. We've reduced the need for irrigation. We've reduced fertilizer, pesticide, and herbicide intensity. We've protected habitat. And we've done all of this without infringing on the private property rights of farmers and their desire to seek new markets and to shift to new crops. Producers, I submit, can and will continue to apply those skills to the many issues that will arise as we build out this ethanol industry, provided that we do not place artificial barriers in the way. The bottom line is that change is upon us whether we fear it or not. Denial is not a solution. Adaptation is not an option. It clearly is a necessity. And ultimately, there are going to be two factors that drive renewable energy today and in the future. And neither of these is going away. The first great change, or the first factor, was the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Since 1989, between 2 and 3 billion people have joined the world market system. This is the greatest single explosion of economic freedom in the history of the world. The world is a much wealthier, it's a more productive, and it's a much more competitive place than it was 30, 20, or even 10 years ago. And one result has been the surge in energy demand that we see today. China is already, as I've already indicated, is now the world's second largest automotive market, as well as a large oil importer. India is rising fast. Hundreds of millions of people are joining the global middle class, a global middle class with an energy profile to match. Energy and agricultural markets are in a process of adjusting to a new reality. There is no going back, no matter how you cut it. Oil is no longer cheap. BTUs and calories are, in fact, fungible. And as a result, agriculture is shifting from the food, feed, and fiber economy or model to a food, feed, fiber, and fuel model. You know that. But in that context, this is an historic opportunity for agriculture and for rural America that we ought to welcome and not to resist. The second factor, though, is distributed computing and broadband. Some of you have heard me talk about this. Simply put, they have unleashed the ability to produce, to manage, and to appropriately price distributed resources, biofuels, wind, and solar power, as well as the human capital necessary in rural America to bring all of this to market. That is indeed Julian Simon's greatest resource. In short, thanks to distributed computing, the productivity of America's farms, of its forests, and the entrepreneurial character displayed by those of you in this room today, as well as your colleagues and competitors who are not here, this indicates that we have the capacity to turn this disruptive change in global energy markets to a long-term advantage for all of us in rural America. This is an historic opportunity of unprecedented proportion. We should welcome it. You know, the ethanol industry has, in fact, reached adolescence. Yes, there are changes ahead. There will be challenges, as you well know. But if we put the greatest resource to work and not throw artificial barriers in the way of market adjustments, we will once again demonstrate that challenge is just another word for opportunity. I thank you all very, very much for the opportunity to be with you today. I wish you the best in the balance of your conference. And again, it's good to see many of you. Thank you.